This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Man, it's going to be a great morning. We've got a special guest with us today. We got Jake Covert and Cinnamon Covert, his wife, coming, and they live right outside of St. Louis in Troy, but they've been planting inner-city churches all across this nation. Jay, you've been with us for a long time, one of our missions partners for at least 15 years, maybe? 15 years going across that we've been able to just invite him into our missions family. When it started, it was all about East St. Louis, and I'm sure he'll tell you now it's there. He's literally all across the United States. I love it because not only is he God's using him from his own past of what he's grown up in, but now has given him just this heart for some of the most dangerous cities in the inner cities of the United States. And there's some really dark, hurting areas around our nation. And I love the fact that we can be a part of helping there be that light. You may not know this, Jay, but our big theme is for our neighbors, and we believe that our neighbors can live across the cul-de-sac or across the country. And so we care for those people who live anywhere and everywhere that we can have influence with. You're going to hear today through the ministries of Urban Outreach that you've been actually partnering and making a difference in areas of the United States. You had no idea. So, Jay, why don't you come up? And Cinnamon, are you coming up too? So come on up, guys, and let's give them a Fields Church welcome.
Good morning. Well, it's great to be here. He likes me to warm the pulpit up when I get to travel with him, if that's all right with you all. So we're going to do something a little fun here. I want you to get excited. I want you to high-five the person in front of you, next to you. Find somebody behind you. High-five me in the air. I don't care. Find somebody. High-five them. Because guess what? Congratulations, you're all missionaries. And maybe you're not called to Africa, and maybe you're not called to China. Maybe some of you are saying, thank you, Jesus, you're not called to the hood with us. But you're all called. Because the last time I checked, there's not a ministry called Warmer in the Pew, amen? God can't just use you while you're sitting on your backside. He needs you out in the community. And you know what's so neat is, I've been sharing this when I travel with them. Love your neighbor. Guess what my scripture is today? I just can't share this enough whenever we go out. And I know we know all this. We all know this verse. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. It says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I decided to do something. I decided to look up the definition of neighbor, which I know we all know that typically. It's in the free dictionary. It says, one, who lives next to or near another. Two, a person, place, or thing adjacent to or located near another. And the last two are my favorite, which I never really thought about it like this. Three is a fellow human. And four, a person who shows kindliness toward fellow humans. So guess what? Wherever you are, that's your neighbor. You don't get out of it. Whether it's your next-door neighbor right next door, whether you're in the grocery store or you're in Starbucks, that's your neighbor, because me and Jesus, we love Starbucks. I don't recommend holding up the Starbucks line, but I have been known to do that every now and then. But that's your neighbor. So wherever your feet take you, you've got no excuse. And, you know, it's not pastor's job to go out into the community and do all the work. He can't go to work with you. He can't go to school with you. He can't go to the grocery store. That's your job. So I just want to challenge each and every one of you to start with one person. You know, and I tell my youth all the time, you got to step across that chicken line, as I say, and be willing to step outside of yourself and get uncomfortable. and say those five simple words to somebody. Can I pray for you? Or share, you know, acts of kindliness. Buy someone a coffee, or, you know, leave your waitress who was terrible that day a big fat tip. You don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe they didn't get, you know, a check that month and they can't make rent, or maybe they're behind on their power bill. You just don't know why that person is being so ugly that day until you step into their shoes. And you know, and we as a church, we've been failing in that area because we're putting it all on the pastor. We have to take responsibility and start stepping out and going out into the communities and starting with one person to share the gospel, to show them true love, and then get them into the church and let the Holy Spirit do the rest, because it's not our job to change people, amen? It doesn't matter what they look like, because where we're at, we wouldn't get very far looking at outward appearance. What are, you know, they've got tattoos, gauges, short skirts, low shirts, pants sagging. God says, get over it. That's my children. That's my lost sheep. Now go out and find them and bring them in. Amen. God bless. Let's go out and be about the Father's business.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be with you guys. You guys have been supporting us since 2004. That's when I came to East St. Louis. So I'm the longest lasting Assembly of God missionary pastor in East St. Louis. Let me give you a little history on that city. 1960, All-American City, 80,000 people living there. Today, 25,000 people. Last year, we had 35 murders in our community, which makes East St. Louis the most violent city in America. Paint a little picture like where our buildings are. We have four buildings in East St. Louis. Right across the street from our building there, in the past 3 years, three men have been gunned down, shot, and killed. And it was a few years ago, I had a pastor visiting with me. We're a block from our building. I can see our building. And all of a sudden, we are in gang crossfire. On my side of the van, 300 feet, there's 20-some gunshots going off. And I know what's going on. It's December, so it ain't firecrackers, right? And so I let go of the steering wheel. I'm grabbing that pastor. I'm pushing him down. He has no idea what's going on. This is Eric Scottsburg. And he's just like clueless. We curb checked. And then when I came back up, I'm looking at the SUV. I'm 20 feet from it now. It's a white Ford Explorer, older model. I can see that the driver's sitting in the back seat because both windows are down. And they pull out of the parking lot that they just shot up, and then shot up three cars behind me. And six people were hurt. And so that's where we're at. And so we've been there now going on 15 years. And in its heyday, there were three Assembly of God churches there. The last one closed in 1983. And so we planted our first church there in 2006. Shamika Black, she came on staff with me January of 2005, and she's still with me. She's been with me 13 years. She pastors the church that I planted. See, I'm really big into raising up indigenous pastors. For doing intercity ministry, that's the only way that we can do this, is that we have to raise up indigenous pastors. So our first two buildings we bought for $15,000, and we bought our third building for $11,000. Then we bought the fourth building, which is actually the best building. We bought that building for $7,000. And so we literally own a half a block downtown East St. Louis. And so when we launched that church, then in 2007, we were given two more buildings. I was given a 10,000 and a 4,000 square foot building in a community called Washington Park. It's not any better than East St. Louis. It's just as violent. It's a city of 5,000 people. A couple years ago, they shot the mayor twice in the chest, killed in his car in broad daylight. We found a teenager shot in the head, face down, his pool of blood in our church parking lot. It happened on a Saturday night. So on Sunday morning, when we're getting ready to have church there, we have a live homicide scene going on with church. And so when we got those buildings, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to plant a Spanish-speaking church in the small building. I said, Lord, that makes no sense. There are no Hispanics in Washington Park. And so we did that. And so today is a Great Light Christian Center. Ramon Granas, he's been with me now 10 years. And so when we were in the process of launching that, you know, I prayed for 13 months for God to send me the right guy, because I knew that when we launched that work, if I was going to get somebody that was going to stay with me long term, that that person would have to understand the community in which he was ministering in. And so what happened was in August of 07, when I began to pray, in August of 07, God spoke to Ramon Granadas in Las Cruces, New Mexico, to move up to the East St. Louis and plant a church. Now, you have to realize this guy was not a pastor. Matter of fact, his background is pretty crazy in that when he was 39 years old, he spent 20 years in prison. So he's an ex-felon, right? And so he was a very violent offender, so because of his gang ties and how violent he was, they would move him from prison to prison around the United States. So he did time in New York, and then his last stint was in Missouri. And so in 2000, when he was in consolatory confinement, somebody slid a Bible underneath his door, and he began to read the Word of God. Then he gave his life to Christ. In 2002, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit out in a rec yard, then they released him. So then he moved back down to where he is from, Las Cruces, New Mexico, plugged into a small Assembly of God church where he met his wife. His mother-in-law was the pastor there. And for 5 years, every weekend, he was going into Juarez, Mexico to do street ministry. That was when Juarez was the most violent city in the world. And then in August of 07, God spoke to Ramon Granadas and doing ministry and said, "Ramon, I have a lot of Ramones down here. I need you to move up to the East St. Louis area and to plant a church." So he'd been around for a year trying to figure out what to do, and then God put us together. So I just took a chance. That's how we've ran our ministries all these years. We're very apostolic, we're very prophetic, and we take calculated risk all the time. That's why we're in 10 different cities right now. And our ministry is debt-free. We run our ministries debt-free every month. We believe in being a debt-free ministry. The Lord spoke to me a few months ago, that by 2025, if he tarries, that we are to launch another 25 urban outreaches in the most violent and most dangerous cities in America, where the churches have left. Do you know why there's so much crime and violence and sin in those areas? Because when the churches left, the strongholds, the demonic forces set up camp, and they took rights over those cities. There's no government, there's no police department, there's nothing that can break those strongholds down but the Church of Jesus Christ. It's by the blood of Jesus, through the gospel of shining the light bright in the darkest places, that will to advance the kingdom, that will change those communities. A few years ago, God spoke to me and said, "I want you to reach the Bosnians." And I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. There are no Bosnians in East St. Louis or Washington Park." He said, "They're over the river. They're in St. Louis." So as I researched it, what I found out is St. Louis has the largest Bosnian population outside of Bosnia. There's 70,000. 90% of them are Muslim. They've been there for 15 years, and nobody was reaching them. And that bothered me. And so I said, "Lord, I'll plant this work for you if you give me a church planter." Took him 9 months. I get a phone call from a guy named Andrew Austin from Janesville, Wisconsin. He called and said, "Hey, I was given your name and number and heard that you plant churches." I said, "So why are you calling me today for, Andrew?" He said, "Well, my wife and I felt called to be missionaries of Bosnia, but we were turned down because they said we didn't have enough pastoral experience." So as we begin to research the Bosnian populations here in America, there's like 10 different cities where the Bosnians have located, but St. Louis has the largest population, and we feel called to reach them. I said, "Congratulations, Andrew. You are our church planter." Andrew says, "Wait a minute. How can you say that? You don't even know me. You've never met me." I said, "Andrew, don't overthink this. You called me." I said, "God's been speaking to me for 9 months, and you're supposed to do this. If you decide not to do it, you'll be out of God's will, and he'll find someone else." Listen, if you're a believer this morning, then you do not have an exemption card for ministry. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, you are ordained, you are orchestrated, you are commissioned by the Holy Spirit to be missionaries where you work and where you live. Every one of us are called to do ministry. Look, I was fine at church plant number two. I'm not like, oh God, please let me plant more churches. He just like speaks to me and I say, okay, I'll do it if you send me the planner. And so we have a ministry there in St. Louis called BIO, Bosnian International Outreach. And I told you we're real big on running ministries debt-free. I remember when Andrew called me and said, look, we need to get a building. I said, Andrew, you have to realize that inner city ministry cannot sustain debt, so you cannot go get a loan for a building. He said, then what do I do? I said, if God doesn't show up and show out, you're in trouble. He has to do it. So God did it. He used Hobby Lobby and Blue Bunny Ice Cream. Both those companies wrote checks out for $50,000 each and bought us a building for $100,000 cash. Did I ask him for money? No, because in 18 years of being a missionary, I've never asked for money. It's not my job. My job is to do what God's told me to do. His job is to provide the funds. His job is to provide the buildings. See, our philosophy is we don't wait until God gives us a building to start ministry. We start ministry and God gives us buildings. That's how it's supposed to be. And so it was a few years ago, I was in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a 1991 Teen Challenge graduate. And so I was up in the Cleveland area, and I was driving around the east side of Cleveland, the most violent, most dangerous part of the city. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to plant a church here. I said, okay, I'll do it if you give me someone to plant the church. And so he gave me a family named the Willards, and they have four kids. And so Bob and Judy, they hit the ground running. They didn't wait till God gave them a building to start ministry. They moved into that neighborhood in the flats off 115th Street. They started doing ministry in the neighborhood, and what happened was it forced them to plant a church in their house. Could you imagine on Thursday nights having 40 to 60 people in your house from the hood? Then they went to Sunday mornings. And then they started after-school tutoring program. Monday through Friday after school, they'd have over 20 kids in their house. And then the most amazing thing happened. The 1,600-square-foot house next door came up for sale, and the bank sold them the house for $500. Yeah, that'll tell you what kind of neighborhood you're in. If it makes you feel any better, I can buy a house in East St. Louis for $600. February last year, the same bank owned another building. It's an old tavern. So it has a building attached to it and a two-bedroom apartment attached to that, right? And so the bank in February sold them the property for $500. And then in August, the bank reissued them a check for $500. So the bank just gave them the building. Do you know what the name of the church is going to be? The Tabernacle. The Tabernacle, that's what they're going to call the church. Because their philosophy is, for years people were getting drunk in the flesh, but when we open up this building, they're going to get drunk in the spirit. You see, our ministry is not a ministry, it's what I call apologizing Pentecostals. I would not get very far if I was apologizing for my heritage. Because I deal with demonic people all the time. Do you know when you deal with someone that has a demon in them that you have two options? You can tuck and run, or you can tell that demon the name of Jesus to come out. I never dealt with people that were demon-possessed till I ended up in East St. Louis. And I'm pretty sure in this day and age, they don't even teach this stuff in Bible college. But we see it all the time. It's a dime a dozen. If I take you out and do street ministry, you know, you're going to see that stuff. In our Spanish-speaking church in the past year, they've cast out 12 demons out of people during their church services. Why? Because they get into that place of the glory of God. They get in that place of the Shekinah glory of God where those things have to manifest. This is what we see when we're in the hood. Do you know we're in Denver, Colorado? We're in the Five Points neighborhood. I remember when Isaac was getting ready to launch that work, he said, so where do I go? I said, you have to plant in the most violent part of Denver. He said, that's a 5-point neighborhood. So that's where you have to plan. He said, what do I do? I said, well, you have two options. You can do drive-by prayer, or you can get out, walk the neighborhood and pray. And then God will tell you, he'll show you what to do. So he said, okay, I'll walk around the neighborhood and pray. So he spent time walking around the neighborhood and praying. And then he came across this lady that was a prostitute and a drug addict, and she was pregnant. And so that day he prayed with her, and then he laid hands on her belly and prayed for her baby. And for several months when he would see that woman, he would just automatically pray for her baby. And then she opened up to him and said, do you know that I've had 4 other babies? But none of them were ever born in a hospital. Matter of fact, I pulled 2 babies out of myself when I was getting high in a crack house. The 5th baby was born in the hospital. And she had drugs and alcohol in her system. And so the hospital said to her, you cannot take this baby home. Do you have any family? She said, no. Do you have anybody that will take your baby? She said, no. Can you think of anyone? Because if not, we're going to have to put your baby through the system. And then it dawned on her. She said, wait a minute. My pastor, they'll take the baby. And 11 days after that baby was born, Isaac and Jamie took that baby home. A year later, they adopted that baby. Friend, this is where I'm pushing at this morning. This is what I'm getting at this morning. God's not concerned about your abilities, your talents, your gifts, whatever that you can do for God, as much as he's concerned for your commitment for Christ. Are you committed for the cause of Christ today? Are you committed to the point that you're willing to lay down your life? Because in the American church, most people aren't. And so our Denver church is different in that it's what we call a community dinner church. On Thursday nights, we open up our building. This past Thursday night was our 289th consecutive Thursday night feeding the homeless. There's 4,000 homeless people in Denver. And so our church there doesn't look like a church. People wait in line, though, to get in. They've already maximized the building. The building can't even hold the people now. We spend about $40,000 a year. The catering companies there give us substantial discounts. And every Thursday night, we feed the homeless. We feed the drug addicts. We feed the prostitutes. We feed the least of these. The nobodies that he wants. That's who we reach. They've grown in such a way that next year, we're launching a second site in Denver. Isaac and I have already been to Albuquerque. We were there a few years ago. We've been gunning for Albuquerque. We want to plant urban outreach in the war zone. We want to put a dinner church in there. Do you know we're in Phoenix, Arizona? Do you know Phoenix has a homeless population of 22,000? When James Turner went to Phoenix, he was looking for a building in East St. Louis, the smaller communities like Gary, Indiana, Detroit, cities that they're just like demolished. There's just nothing there. We can get buildings a dime a dozen. But then you have cities like Denver that are up and coming. You have cities like Phoenix where it's hard to get a building, so you have to get what you can. And so there's 2 homeless shelters in central Phoenix right downtown, and they can only hold about 2,000 people. So at any given day, you have 2,000 people that are congregated around the shelters trying to get in. And so what's happened is that's forced all these different homeless camps all around a 2-3 block radius of there. And so when James Turner was trying to figure out where to get a building, there was nothing available. And his idea was we need to get as close as we can to the people. And so this old outlaw biker bar became available. And so we planted urban outreach in an old biker bar, an outlaw biker bar. How cool is that? They lived next door, and the house had a barbed wire fence with a razor wire around. It looked like a compound. Well, we outgrew that building from the start. I mean, there were days where the building was completely full, and they had chairs set up in the patio just so people could hear the gospel. But we had seen another building had been sitting vacant for a couple of years. It was an old Baptist church. It seats like 300 people, has a huge gymnasium, and it has a large parking lot that's fenced in. And James and I, a couple times when I've been out there, he would take me over there and show me a building. We would, you know, pray over the building, ask God to give it to us. And he was like a pit bull on a piece of steak with that thing. He would just not give it up. I mean, he harassed that guy about that building to the point where the guy finally gave in. You see, we were paying $3,500 or $3,100 a month for that little dinky biker bar. And that was with utilities not included. So the Baptist church is allowing us to use the building for $1,700 a month with all utilities included. And so I said to James, do what we do. And that is maximize the space. Fill it up. You can't blame the guy for not giving you the building. He doesn't know you. But make him give you the building. In that, allow him to see that when they close that building, that now it's being used for what it is purposed for with our ministry. And I believe that if you'll do that, James, I believe that God will speak to him and he will give you the building. You know, we're in New Orleans. We're in St. Rock 7th Ward. And because of Katrina, there's a lot of buildings there that cannot be prepared or fixed. They need to be torn down, but they're protected. And so what that has done is has forced us to rethink how to plant church. Listen, a church is not a building. We have to get past that. A church is you and I. A church is people. So our ministry in New Orleans has come up with an idea. Because of homeless people gather underneath the I-10 bridges, there are camps of homeless people, families living in tents underneath those bridges. And so Josh Holder's come up with this idea of about $25,000. We're in the process of raising the funds and building it now. Building a mobile commercial kitchen. That the bridges, if you've been down there, if you see how wide the area is, it's always dry. It's just a great place. And so we're just going to put the mobile kitchen, move it along I-10 throughout the city, and then set up 200 chairs, and then just cook up this huge meal, feed the people, and have church while we're doing it. It's reaching people. That's the whole point, is we want to reach people through the best means possible. And I've gotten past what a church looks like. Some of our buildings don't even look like churches. It's just what works for us. And like I said, in the next, 6 years, 7 years, if the Lord tarries, our goal is to plant 25 urban outreaches in the most violent cities in America, Compton, California, Stockton, California, Detroit, Michigan, Gary, Indiana. That's probably going to launch next year. Chicago. Camden, New Jersey. Wherever there's a violent city where no one knows what to do with it, that's where we need to be. Do you know how we've gotten to this point this far? It's through the generosity of God's people. Through your support of Missions Monthly, we've been able to do this. And through churches all around the country that support our ministries. And so I want to say to you this morning, thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayers. Because together, we are making a difference. I don't even know through the week how many people we're ministering to. I'm pretty sure it's 2,000 or 3,000 people a week. If not more, maybe less, I don't know. All I know is the Lord has a heart for those cities. And he needs people to go. And if he'll send us the planners and he'll give us the buildings, we will go. Amen? God bless you.